another opportunity from God to worship together. We thank Him for that, and good to see you. As we enter our study now of God's Word, I invite your attention as we are going to pick up from where we stopped this morning in talking about I Have Overcome the World. As noted in John, the 16th chapter, and in verse 33, Jesus said, "I've said these things unto you that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So there, he makes a contrast between being in him and being in the world. As we live on this earth, his point there is there's going to be tribulations, but Christ has overcome the world. We studied in our lesson this morning the victory that we have, or that really the victory of Christ over Satan, over sin, over death, over the darkness of immorality, over every false doctrine. Christ has fully and completely overwhelmed the forces of evil. He has done that as He has died for our sins, was resurrected from the dead, and now lives at the right hand of God, exalted. And the great warfare depicted in Revelation chapter 12, in the first 10 or 12 verses, a warfare that has the victory given to the male child, the Christ, the Messiah, and that the great serpent, the devil, has been cast down to the earth. And he continues, as we're going to pick up, in fact, in that reading tonight, to see that our victory is in Christ, and we're going to explore some of the specifics that are talked about in the last part of that passage. If you'll turn back over with me to Revelation chapter 12, we noted, and we didn't take a lot of time on verse 10, so I'd like to look at that for just a moment and then also read 11 and 12 and set the scene for the fact that now because Christ has overcome the world, you and I can overcome the world. In fact, we're told, "Do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. If any man is in the world, any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So we make a choice to fight against the world, just as the Lord Himself did. But let's pick up in verse 10. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice." This is Revelation 12, verse 10. "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down.'" Now, you remember John 12, 31, Jesus said, now shall the God of this world be cast out. And He's talking about His crucifixion. So in His death, there's a casting out of Satan and his power that was overwhelming sinners, giving fear and bringing death. But now in Christ, we have salvation. You see, verse 10 is key to interpreting this passage in Revelation 12. Rather than imposing some futuristic interpretation, verse 10 explains that it's describing the time when salvation exists, and that's right now. Now Satan has been cast out. Now salvation and strength and the kingdom has come, and his power. Well, the kingdom exists now. Christ has established His kingdom, and the accuser, the devil, the one who accuses God's people, our brethren, he's been cast down. But it says now, more specifically, and this is what we want to explore in 11 especially, it says, "And they overcame Him." That is, the brethren, our brethren, God's people. "They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." And he continues in that context to develop the point that while the devil has been cast out, he is still active in persecuting the people of God. God, at the same time, is providential in providing protection to His people and assurance that if they will keep His commandments and His testimony, that there will be ultimate rest. Verse 17, the dragon was enraged with the woman, that is, God's faithful ones, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, that is, the children of God, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The dragon is still active. Satan is still at work. He's still warring against us as we keep the commands of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. But verse 10 or verse 11 says, they overcame. Just as they overcame, we overcome. We overcome through our faith in Christ Jesus. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says that this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, overcomes evil. But how is that possible? How is it that my faith, your faith, that our faith, even our combined faith, how does that overcome the world? Well, it's explained in verse 11. First of all, he says, by the blood of the Lamb. So they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. When we live by faith, we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the death of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. You see, the death of Jesus gives a perfect sacrifice for our sins. He paid the ransom. He said the Son of Man came, or He gave His life a ransom for us all. Matthew 20, I believe verse 28 says. But in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, speaking of the blood of the Son of God, when we talk about His blood, of course we're talking about the life of the sinless Son of God. Passage says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. So it's only by His blood, His death, that we're redeemed. We're bought out of the bondage, the entrapment, the slavery of sin. If we're going to overcome through faith, if faith is the victory that overcomes the world, it's because we put our faith in the blood of the Lamb. We don't put our faith in thinking, well, I can shed my own blood, I can be a martyr, and therefore I'm saved. Some people, you know, they have that notion, they have that, that idea that, well, if you give your life for God, then necessarily you'll go to heaven because you become a martyr. No, not necessarily. You can die. You can even die in the name of Jesus. You can even take Jesus' name. I mean, a lot of people during the Crusades of the Middle Ages that died, quote, in the name of Jesus. But that didn't mean they were automatically saved. Your blood can't save you from your sins. Giving your life will not save you from your sins. It's the blood of the Son of God that does that, and only that. And that's in Revelation 12:11, how they overcame. How any of us overcome Satan and sin and death and the darkness of this world and the errors and false teachings of men is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if I have my faith in His blood, then I've got to reach its benefits, and the gospel explains how we do that. We're familiar with this point. It's a basic point, but you see, this is at the heart of overcoming the world. Look at Romans 6 with me in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God's grace is abundant. God's grace is greater than sin. It's more powerful than sin, because you see, Jesus defeats Satan. He overwhelms Satan by dying on the cross, providing a sacrifice for the sins of the world that God accepts, that God approves, and that God will apply that sacrifice to cleanse us from our sins. So God's grace is greater, but that compels us to no longer live in sin. Verse 2, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We're compelled to put sin to death. That happens when we're converted to Christ. That happens when we're baptized into Christ. Verse 3, do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? That is, we're baptized into the benefits of His death, into the blessing of His death. That sacrifice that was made for us, the blood that was shed, by whose blood we're healed. So, if we're going to overcome Satan at all through faith, it's going to be a faith that yields in obedience to being baptized in water to obtain the benefits of the death of Jesus Christ. That's how our sins are washed away when we're baptized, Acts 22:16. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Why? Because, you see, you overcome sin and death in being baptized. You put sin to death, Christ's blood washes your sins away. It's applied to your sin. Remission takes place there when we're baptized into the death of Jesus. Now, he says when we do that, then we're in a position to overcome the world, to have victory over the world. No other way. No other way. If we're not a Christian, you see, the blood has not washed our sins away. We're still under the power of sin and death. The world is having its way in our hearts, in our thinking, in our practice. The gospel says, come out. Have victory through the blood of the Lamb. Now, let me just expand that a moment to this point, that once we've done that, we're to keep walking by faith. You know, we're to continue to live in a way that the blood of Christ cleanses our sins. That is, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 verses 7 through 9, it says, when we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. So when the Christian sins, he repents, he confesses, the blood cleanses us. You see, if it were not for the blood of Jesus, we wouldn't be able to enter the battle to start with. We're already on the enemy's side. It's the blood of Jesus that rescues us, frees us from his bondage of sin and death, gives us life, and gives us a new way to live, so that walking in the light of his truth, we have that initial cleansing from our sin, and when we repent of sin, as we confess it to him, as we go on living, sin's not going to rule us. We're going to be ruled by the Lamb, by His truth, by His righteous truth. And so we overcome Satan because Jesus was willing to die for us because of the blood of the Lamb. Secondly, he said, they overcome by the word of their testimony. Revelation 12 and verse 11. They overcame by the word of their testimony. Now, in chapter 17, as we drop down, we read it a moment ago, the dragon is enraged with the woman. The devil is spewing out hatred in this war against the people of God, the children of God, those who are keeping the commands of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus, the proclamation of the good news that Jesus brought into the world, that by His apostles and prophets has spread out over the whole world, that we have in Scripture today. It is that word that testifies of who Jesus is and what He provides. It's the power of God to save us. The Word of God has to be the means and is the means whereby when we live by faith, we overcome Satan. In Revelation 14 and verse 12, here is the patience. Here is the steadfastness of the saints. And he's described now a scene of triumph in the first part of chapter 14. Chapter 13, you see this great beast out of the sea and another beast from the earth, and they are pressing upon, and it looks like they're going to just destroy the people of God. You had to have the mark of the beast, or you wouldn't live. You wouldn't have anything to eat. They are being persecuted. All these are figures of the persecutions that rose up in the first and second centuries. How did they endure? Well, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. Because look at chapter 14, 12. These are those who keep the commandment of God and the faith of Jesus. They endured by being faithful to the word. They continued to be true to the Word of God. That's how they overcame the world. That's how they overcame Satan. That's how you and I will overcome Satan. See, the gospel, that's what he's describing at the very beginning in Acts 2. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Save yourself. He testified to them. He explained to them and bore heaven's testimony that this is the only way you're going to be rescued from sin and death. It's the blood of the Lamb. Repent and be baptized to have your sins removed. In Acts 20, verses 20 and 21, as that gospel spread out into the regions of Asia and beyond, Paul in Ephesus said that when he preached there, he preached faith in repentance and faith. Get over there with you, Acts 20 and 21. I kept back nothing from you, Acts 20 and verse 20. I kept nothing back from you, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, here's a testimony. It's heaven's testimony. Heaven is bearing witness of the truth that if you're going to have salvation at all, it's going to come through repentance toward God. Change your heart toward God. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 24. He said, none of these things move me. I do not count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Again, he's testifying. He's bearing heaven's testimony of God's grace, the gospel of the grace of God. This is how they overcame, by the word of their testimony. They clung to this word. They let it shape and mold their thinking, their lives in the midst of persecution as Satan is warring against the faithful ones, pressing upon them with persecutions, killing them even for their faith. They endured. They overcame. They didn't just endure, they overcame because of the word of their testimony, because of the gospel that they clung to. Acts 20 and 32. Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The word of God builds us up, gives us an eternal inheritance. That's how we overcome the world. We overcome Satan by the word of God. We looked at this verse this morning. Just look at this verse again, 1 John 2:14. I have written to you, fathers, because you've known Him who's from the beginning. You've known God. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. We will never overcome the wicked one if the Word of God is not in us. We never will. That's the emphasis of Revelation 12:11. They overcame because of that word, because of that testimony. They so believed it. They so cherished it. They knew that was their only hope. Not to give in to Rome and the persecution of the moment and to yield to save their physical life. They would give up their lives. And many did, because they were remaining true to Jesus, because of the word of their testimony. You see, here's where the martyrdom means something. When you give up your life because you're clinging to truth, because you live in the truth, because you will not deny truth, that is how you overcome Satan, by holding to the testimony that comes from God's word, God's truth. John 12, 35 and 36, in that chapter where Jesus talked about casting out the god of this world. In John 12, we've dropped down a few verses. It says, Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. For he who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. So you need to walk using the light. And Jesus has already said multiple times, I am the light. I'm the light of the world. So walk with my light. He who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going. We understand that. How much more should we understand it spiritually? We need the light that Jesus and Jesus alone can give us. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. That's the responsibility we have if we're going to overcome by the word of their testimony. This word is a light. It shows us the way to heaven. Shows us the way to endure. shows us the way to overcome every false teaching. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. Here's the battle. There's a battle against error. It's a battle against Satan. It's against this great dragon who knows his time is short, and he's going to use every means at his disposal to try to overwhelm us. Now look at our superior force and see that that is the Word of God that God has given us. 2 Corinthians 10:3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Oh, but we're at war. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Brethren, we're not going to defeat Satan with our wisdom. If we can just massage the situation and manipulate the circumstance, if we can just say the right thing at the right time in the right moment, we'll overcome. Well, no, it's going to be the might of God that overcomes. It's going to be the truth. It's not going to be me or you. It's not going to be our wisdom. It's not going to be our power that overcomes the world. Faith overcomes the world. That's our victory. Now look what he said. We war in a spiritual warfare, and our weapons are not carnal. They have God's might. They can pull down the strongholds of Satan. But look what it amounts to. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Our battle is for the hearts and souls of men and women. And he says it is truth that casts down the arguments of the devil, casts down error, casts down the things that exalt themselves against God. You know, our world elevates so many things above the knowledge of God. They cast aside the legitimacy of marriage. There are those who tout the supposed benefits of open marriage as if that was a good thing. No problems, no troubles, no worries. That's a lie. It's a lie. You know. And on and on the list. The world offers a facade. But it offers that facade in such a way that it penetrates into people's minds, into people's hearts. And that's where the battle is. That's where the Word of God goes. The Word of God is living and active and stronger than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word can penetrate the sinner's heart. And it can cut out all the deceptions and errors, all the lies of the devil, and put in their place the testimony of heaven, the truth of Almighty God. That's the only way we're going to overcome the devil. We've got to hold to the testimony of the apostles so that we bring our thoughts into captivity to obey Jesus. And so that then we fight this warfare to try to help save other souls, to save them out of the deceptive clutches of the devil, who destroys minds and souls with his deceptions, with his lies, and deceit and sin. How do they overcome? How are we going to overcome? We're going to overcome by holding fast to truth. We're not going to overcome any other way. We're going to have to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And thirdly, by self-denial. I want you to see that third phrase, the third thing there in Revelation 12 and verse 11. It says, "And they did not love their lives to the death." They were willing to die for what was true and right. And there's the victory. You say, well, if they die, they got defeated. No, in death, there was victory. They weren't defeated in death. There was victory in death. Paul said in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, "The time of my departure has come." He's about to die in the flesh, but he saw that as a moment of great victory. And so he urges every one of us to shape and mold our values after His. To run the race, fight the fight, keep the course. Keep the faith for the crown of righteousness that is ours. They overcame because of self-denial. They loved God more than they loved themselves, more than they loved their lives. And I wonder, is that us? Do we love Jesus more than we love our life? More than we love the things of this life? Do we really love Him more? Because the devil can convince us we do. But he can deceive us too. And we don't want to be deceived. We want to be clear thinking about it. Matthew the 16th chapter. And in verse 24, Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me." Well, we desire to come after Jesus. We do. We want to follow Jesus. He said, "Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Deny self and take up his cross. At once we must empty ourselves and we must accept the burden of the cross of Jesus Christ. He bore his cross to Calvary. We must bear our cross to follow him. Bear the weight of the world's hatred, the world's rejection, the world's failure to understand. Be willing to accept that. Paul said, "At my first offense, no one stood by me. They all forsook me." He was willing to bear that cross. But he said, "The Lord stood by me and delivered me from the mouth of the lion, and He'll deliver me from every evil thing unto the day of Jesus Christ." You see, so we desire to come after Him. To accomplish that, we have to not love our life unto the death. I think that's what the point of Revelation 2 and verse 10. It says, "Be faithful unto death." That's the core of that thought. It's not just be faithful until you die. It's be faithful to the point of giving your life for Jesus Christ. There's the overcoming of Satan. Because you see, Satan thinks he can win if he can take our life. Don't you remember what he said about Job? Skin for skin. You take his health, you take his life, and he'll deny you. You bring him up to the brink of death, he'll deny you. Because life is so precious to mankind. And it is precious. It's a gift of God. But our life is not more important than being true and faithful to Jesus. It's not more important than denying the world. You see, we can't say, "Well, I'll love the world a little bit because I don't want the hurt come upon me if I don't have some area of compromise over here." Self-denial. The battle rages. It rages on every single day. The devil's looking to find his opening. Look at Romans 8th chapter 37 through 39 that Brother Connor read for us earlier. Why don't you look at the points made there in 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to overwhelm us? Faith is a victory that overcomes the world, after all. Well, watch. And what you see, every one of these things in verse 35, Satan is at work to try to use these things to separate us from Christ's love. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? I dare say, have we faced any of those things? Now, Paul did. The apostles did. Many, many first century Christians did. And yet, the faith here is we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. See, those things, Satan will not be successful, Paul says, in using those things to separate us from God. We are more than conquerors through Christ. So it's about reshaping how we think about everything, about life, about ourselves. Paul talked to Timothy about being a soldier. He says, "No soldier entangles himself in the affairs of this world that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier." God's enrolled us as soldiers. We chose it. It's a voluntary enrollment. He didn't draft us. He didn't force us to be a soldier in the fight against Satan. We chose it. But to be a good soldier, we have to endure hardship. We have to not love our life unto death. Revelation 12 and 11. That's how we overcome. We don't entangle ourselves in the affairs of this life, this world. These are all of secondary consideration. To seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We stand victorious, conquerors, when we will clothe ourselves with His armor. Ephesians 6, familiar with the passage. He says, as we are to take up the whole armor of God, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. When the calamity comes, when the distress and persecution and the famine and the sword, you see, when all these things come and Satan would use those to tempt us to give in, to relax, to compromise, save yourself, save your life. No, he says, you keep God's armor on. And in the evil day you will stand. Because you've done all. You've done your part. You've lived by faith. You see, we put the armor on by faith. It's our trust that the defenses God gives us through His gospel equip us to not yield to temptation, to keep our priorities established of seeking first God and His will, and not giving a place to the devil, not giving him a foothold in any respect in our lives. That's what we need. That's what we have to do. Let's go back to Revelation 12. They overcame. See, there's no doubt here. He says in this great spiritual conflict, the devil's been cast out, and the people of God, the one who is accused by the devil, overcame him. By these three things, the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. They denied themselves to live for Christ. By the way, I don't think we looked at, or did we read? Yeah, we did. We looked at Matthew 16, didn't we? So let's look at verse 12 now, as he sums this up. Therefore, rejoice. Okay, now here's the point. All this has application for us. Rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. Now, question I want to pose to you is, are you an inhabitant of heaven or the earth? You see, our citizenship is in heaven. Ephesians 2nd chapter several times talks about the fact that we sit with Christ in the heavenly places. Oh, we're not actually in the place where God's throne is at this moment. But that's our citizenship. That's our home. That's where our heart and our life is. We're in the heavenly places with Christ. We don't love the world. You see, don't love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father. They're of the world. The world's passing away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Now look at that connection with verse 12. The devil's here on the earth wreaking his havoc because he knows he has a short time. He's destined to an eternal fire. The second death. And so he's trying with all his might to destroy as many souls as possible. But we can overcome because Christ is overcome. We can rejoice and should be rejoicing because we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Because you see, chapter 17, 14, as we mentioned this morning, look at that again. It says, these make war with the Lamb. That is, those who were in cahoots, for lack of better expression, those who were in cahoots with the Roman Empire, the persecuting powers of the moment, those who love the world, they make war with the Lamb. the people in the world, they're enemies of Jesus. And the Lamb will overcome them. The victory is assured. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. We rejoice because we're with Jesus. If we're not with Jesus, we don't have any reason to rejoice. We have every reason to make a change, a drastic change right now, to believe and obey Him for the salvation of our souls. Because you see, to the victor goes the spoils. Jesus is the victor. The spoils of eternal life, or His, an eternal inheritance, that's what He's going to supply those who are chosen, called, and faithful. And that's where you and I want to be. And so the gospel tells us what we need to do is hear and obey Jesus. Two last verses before we close. Revelation 3, verses 20 and 21. In the letter to the church of the Laodiceans, Jesus says through His messenger, He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Here's a call to overcome. To accomplish that, we must hear Christ's voice and obey Him. Open the door. Christ is knocking at the door of our heart. He says, open the door. Open your heart. Open your life. But of course, to do that, we've got to be obedient to Him. We've got to keep His commandments. That's, remember, Revelation 12 and 17. Satan's fighting those who keep the commands of God and the testimony of Jesus. Enter the battle. Because right now, if you're not a Christian, if you're not listening to Jesus and obeying Jesus, you're not going to reign with Him. You're with the enemy. He wants you to come be on the winning side and reign with Him, overcome by the blood of the Lamb, through the word of their testimony, and through the self-denial of a life of faith. Revelation 21 in verse 7, as it pictures for us the eternal home, eternal city of God, it says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I'll be his God and he shall be my son." A full and complete inheritance for those who overcome. You see, remember what Dwight D. Eisenhower said? He said, there are no victories at discount prices. We're not going to win this battle unless we give ourselves completely and fully to it in faith to Jesus Christ, to His blood, to the Word of His truth, and to deny ourselves and let Christ live in us through faith. And not love our life more than life itself. Be willing to even give our life to stay true to Jesus. Well, our life's not on the line tonight from somebody else. But you see, we've got to make a decision tonight. Will I give my life to God so that I can have eternal life? If you're not a Christian, tonight's the night to repent and be baptized to obtain spiritual life and to live for God from this day forward, to overcome the world, to no longer love it. Become a Christian and be saved out of the world and be added to God's kingdom, which will reign forever. If you're a Christian and sins come into your heart, you've let the enemy back in, and he's wreaking havoc. He's trying to destroy and tear down and pull apart everything that Christ gave you. Repent of that sin. Turn away from him. Fight the devil. Flee. Resist him. Repent. Confess the sin to him in prayer, and he'll forgive you. And make choices and decisions to keep his commandments and the testimony of Jesus. We want to help you do that. Won't you come and let that be known while we stand and sing?
Days are filled with sorrow and
burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted. drafted at Calvary. Cavalry, cavalry, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Cavalry, cavalry. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Cavalry, cavalry. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Are there those here that need to partake of the Lord's Supper this evening? Let us be returning number 171. Number 171. The Lord's Supper. Sing the song to prepare those who need to partake of the Lord's Supper this evening. So I'll sing out.
When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union, while partaking of the bread. Precious feast of